if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, the beauty of the gospel is that God has saved us. He's freed us from the power and the penalty of sin. He's put us in Christ, who's now our life. So we've gathered together to surrender our lives and say, our lives are yours and we're your servants. It's not radical version of Christianity. This is biblical Christianity. It's what it means to be a follower of Christ. We don't call the shots. He calls the shots.
You're listening to the new Radical Together podcast with teaching from David Platt. And welcome back to another episode of Radical Together. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the previous episodes, you can access the podcast archive through iTunes or by going online to radical.net. Today, we return to the book of Romans with the second part of David's message entitled, Our Obligation to the Unreached.
If you have a Bible, and I hope you do, I want to draw your attention to Romans chapter 9. So what does this mean? What do we do? These are the questions I hoped to create in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, in our families after the last podcast. So we saw in Romans 1:14, and the verses and the chapters that followed, our obligation to the unreached. We thought together about 2 billion people spanning 6,500 different people groups who at this moment don't have access to the gospel. And we put ourselves in their shoes and realized that if we were them, that would mean that we have knowledge of God, we've rejected God, we stand condemned before God, and if we don't hear the good news of what God has done in Christ, then we will die in that state and go to an everlasting hell without ever even hearing the gospel. And then we stepped out of their shoes and we said, that's not tolerable. It's not tolerable that 2 billion people in the world are in this state at this moment. So we must go to them. We're obligated to go to them. Their knowledge of God, only enough to damn them to hell. The gospel of God is powerful enough to save them for heaven. The plan of God warrants our sacrifice, and the Son of God deserves their praises. So we don't have an option. We have an obligation. We must work to get the gospel to unreached peoples, all of us. We must. And that then leads us to the question, how? How do we get the gospel to all peoples? What does this mean for our lives? What do we do? What do you do? What do I do? What does each of us do individually? What do all of us do collectively? And it's that question that I want to dive into in the next few moments with kind of the last half of the book of Romans. And I want to use a term that we have used a lot in the church that I used to pastor. And that term is a blank check. A blank check before God with no strings attached. From you, from me, from our churches, to say to God, we know we must work, we must strive, live, and die to get the gospel to people who've never heard it. Because we own Christ, we owe Christ. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to lost people and lost peoples this side of hell. So with that obligation on the table, we put everything on the table. We lay our lives down. We lay our families down. We lay our churches down with no strings attached. And we say to God, whatever you want us to do to get the gospel to unreached peoples, we will do it. So that's what I mean by blank check. And the question I want to ask you is, have you said that? Have you said to God, whatever you want me to do to get the gospel to unreached peoples, I will do it? Has your family said, whatever you want us to do to get the gospel to unreached peoples, we will do it? In the next few minutes, I want to show you in Romans why we should say that, why each of us should say to God, I'll do whatever you want me to do with no strings attached. So God, I see what's going on in Iraq and Syria and Somalia and West Africa right now, and if you want me to take my wife and my kids to Iraq or Syria or Somalia or West Africa for the spread of the gospel, then I'll do it. I'm talking whatever, no strings attached, blank check. And that sounds radical to many, out of the realm of even thinking for many of us, and that sounds utterly foolish to everybody in the culture around us. And not even just in the culture. That sounds foolish to most people sitting in the seats and pews of church buildings on Sunday mornings. But in the next few moments, I want to show you why we must be radical like this. I want to show you that radical is actually just biblical. And some may say it's foolish or extreme, but I want to show you in the next few minutes why being foolish like this in the eyes of the world is the wisest thing you can do with your life. I want to show you why anything less than a blank check before God, that's foolishness. That's utter foolishness. So, five different reasons why we give God a blank check with no strings attached, not even a Syria or Somalia string attached, all of them flowing from the book of Romans. One, we give God a blank check because we've been saved by the gospel. This is the whole thrust of Romans. We talked in the last podcast about how Paul wanted the church at Rome to help him get the gospel to Spain. But notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't spend all his time in this letter telling the church at Rome about all the needs in Spain, telling them about stories and people in that city or this town in Spain. Instead, he writes them a letter in which he gives them quite possibly the most pure, potent picture of the gospel that we have in all the Bible. And in doing this, Paul's pointing us to the inevitable reality that the beauty of the gospel itself creates a burden for mission in the world. Once you know the gospel, I mean really know it and really believe it, then mission to unreached people just makes sense. Think about this in Romans. In Romans 1 through 3, we talked about this in the last podcast. He paints a picture of the depravity of man, the lostness of man without God. He says, everyone stands guilty before God with nothing to say. Romans 3, 19 and 20. But then, in that great transition verse, Romans 3, 21, he says, but now this righteousness from God has been made known through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. He shows how God has poured out his wrath against sin on his Son, and he's made a way for anyone, anywhere to be saved. Which then leads to the question, how can we be saved? And in chapters 4 and 5, Paul describes how we're saved not by our work, but by trust in Christ's work. Romans 5, 1, we're justified through faith. Through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we've gained access by faith in this grace in which we now stand. We believe. Romans 5, 8 says, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We believe that. And that changes everything about the way we live. Romans 6, Paul describes how through faith in Christ, we're dead to sin, alive to God, united with Christ. Romans 7, that doesn't mean we don't struggle with sin. We do. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. And then he goes on to talk about how because we've been set free from sin, we are sons and daughters of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we're children, we're heirs, heirs with God and co-heirs with Christ. And indeed, we may share in his sufferings in order that one day we're going to share in the glory of Christ. And we know, Romans 8, 28, that all things, God's working together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. And nothing can stand in our way. If God's for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Then he closes out and he says, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Romans 1 through 8, this glorious picture of the gospel, of God's love for us in Christ. And this gospel is good. But don't miss the bottom line. You want to know how good this gospel is? This gospel is good enough to throw yourself into hell so that other people can have it. Which is exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 1. He says, I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. And from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Did you hear that? Paul says, with great sorrow and unceasing anguish in his heart before God, he says, I'd go to hell if I could. I would throw myself into damnation if that would mean the salvation of these people. I don't even know how to comprehend that statement. To stand on the brink of everlasting darkness, eternal fire that will never end, and to say, I would jump in. I would jump in right now if that meant the Jewish people's salvation. Jewish people who, mind you, were persecuting Paul, who were waiting for him in Jerusalem to arrest him and have him killed. And Paul says, I'd go to hell forever for you. Why would Paul say that? Why would you say that or I say that? Then think about this. And it's different, I know, but there's many similarities. Think for a minute about an unreached people group today. Think Iraq or Syria or Somalia. Think about an unreached people group that is producing terrorists who are intent on killing you. Think about an unreached people group that is waiting to arrest and or murder you or your family when you come their way. Why would you say, I'd throw myself into hell forever if that meant you might be saved. But since I can't do that, I'll do whatever it takes for your salvation. I'll lay down my life, my family, my future, so that you might be saved. Why would you say that and mean that? You would only say that if you really knew that you yourself were once under the wrath of God, deserving of eternal damnation, that hell was your rightful destination, and you knew that God, the very God whom you rebelled against, this God came running after you to redeem you. And how did he do that? He did it by going to hell for you and me. Christ redeemed us by putting himself in our place on a cross where he bore the wrath we deserve in our stead. And then, though our eyes were blind to its beauty, God's grace broke through our hard hearts, and he opened our eyes to believe. He saved us. Romans 8:29-30, he predestined, called, justified, and has promised to glorify us with him forever. So now, in light of that, it just makes sense. As sinners saved by this gospel, to say to God, we'll go to the most rebellious, the hardest to reach, the most resistant people. We'll lay down our lives in love for the sake of their salvation. We give God a blank check, say, if you want us to do that, we'll do that. Why? Because we've been saved by this gospel. The beauty of the gospel creates a burden for mission. So we give God a blank check. Second, we give God a blank check because we've been sent by God. So that was Romans 9. Now you keep going to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Then he says in verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach, verse 15, unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So those verses that I just read, Romans 10, verses 9 through 15, basically spell out God's plan for getting the gospel to unreached peoples. So you take those verbs in verse 14 and 15 backwards, and you see that plan. It says, how do they preach unless they're sent? So this is where it starts. It starts with God sending his people. And what does he send them to do? He sends them to preach. Now, when you hear preach, don't just think in your mind somebody standing behind a podium in front of a large group of people. Like, yes, that's preaching, but the word for preach here is just proclaiming the gospel. This is what people do, just 101. We proclaim the gospel. We tell other people that God loves them enough to send his son, Jesus, to die on a cross for them. This is what God has sent all of us to do. He's put his spirit in us for this purpose. From Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, so be a witness to Christ. So Christ sends us to preach. And when we preach, Romans 10, verse 14, people will hear. Once we preach, how are they to hear without someone preaching? And when they hear, keep going backwards in verse 14, they'll believe. So people, not everybody who hears the gospel believe, but we know this gospel, Romans 1:16, is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. So there will be people who will believe when they hear. When they hear, they'll believe. And when they believe, they'll call on his name. How are they to call on him if they're not believed in? And they'll call on him once they do hear and believe. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. So this is the plan. God sends his people to preach the gospel. When we preach, people hear. When they hear, they believe. When they believe, they call. When they call, they're saved. So where does it all start? It all starts with God sending his children. Oh, now just think about this. Why do we give God a blank check? Because God, the God of the universe, so the God who brought up the sun this morning and the God who bring it down tonight, the God over all the world, over all creation, the God over all the universe has sent you and me and us to spread this gospel in the world. This is a breathtaking thought. And just let it soak in wherever you are right now. God is sending you. And when you realize this, when we realize this, it just makes sense to say, okay, wherever, whatever, whenever, blank check, I'll do it. Like, it doesn't make sense when God says, I'm sending you, to say, maybe, but I'm going to put some conditions on it. No, blank check. We've been sent by God. And then think about why he sent us. He's sending us for others' salvation. Why is he sending us? Because he wants to save people all over the world. And he's sending you and me to bring them the good news of how they can be saved. I mean, I can't think of anything more valuable for us to give our lives to than going as people sent by God and sharing with people the good news of how they can be saved for all of eternity. We get to be a part of seeing people's lives changed forever. Like for the next 10 trillion years, they're just getting started, and we have an opportunity to see them restored to God forever. This is what God's sending us for people's salvation, for people without hope to have a hope, for people without love to be loved, for people on a road that leads to everlasting suffering right now to come to know everlasting life. This is why we give God a blank check, because he's sending us for others' salvation. He's sending us for his glorification. That even goes back to what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 9 when he said he was anguished. Remember how he talked about the Jewish people there? I read it. He said, they're Israelites. To them belong the adoption and glory and covenants and giving the law and worship and promises. To them belong the patriarchs. And from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ who's God over all. This is the people of God, Paul says. This is the people that God bound his name and his glory and his honor with, going all the way back to Genesis 12. The glory of God is at stake in this people, which is why he says immediately after that in verse 6, it's not as though God's word had failed. And in the rest of Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul is zealous to show that God is sovereign over the salvation of his people, and God will be faithful to his promises. Now, again, it's different. In many ways, it's different. But we know there's promises in the Bible. We've mentioned on numerous occasions already, Revelation 5, that Jesus has purchased men and women from every people, tribe, tongue, and nation. But you look at the world with 6,500 unreached people groups, and it's tempting to think, is God really going to save people from all of them? Is God really sovereign over salvation? Is God really going to be faithful to his promise? And so we give God a blank check. Why? Because we No, we've got brothers and sisters whom God has promised to adopt as sons and daughters, and our Father has sent us to bring them into the family, that they might know the joy and the love and the hope and the wonder and the grace and the mercy and the grandeur and the glory of our God. We know there's over 11,000 people groups in the world, 6,500 of them unreached. So we give God a blank check. Why? Because our God is worthy to receive praise from 6,500 more people groups on the planet. And God is sending us for their salvation, for his glorification. And then, don't miss this, he's sending us for our satisfaction too, and for our good. I know that putting a blank check on the table with your life or your family and your future is a scary proposition for many people. I mean, what if God says go to Iraq or Syria or Somalia or Afghanistan and work among the Taliban? Is that what you're going to do with your life or your family? The thought of a blank check may be frightening to many, but don't forget who you're giving the blank check to.
David will be back in just a minute to finish out this week's episode of Radical Together. If you've been encouraged by the most recent messages from David on this podcast and would like to share them with others, we'd like to tell you about a free resource available to churches and small groups. Recently, David preached at Johnson Ferry Baptist Church in Georgia as a part of a giving emphasis for missions through the IMB. Much like the past two episodes of Radical Together, his sermon that day was about our obligation to the unreached. Now, the video from his sermon at Johnson Ferry Baptist is available for you to use as a Bible study resource or as a way to promote missions giving in your own church. That video is available for free download at imb.org/offering. And for other resources from David Platt, visit radical.net. There you can watch or listen to past sermons, read the Radical blog, or stay up to date on catalytic events like Secret Church. Here's David with the rest of today's message.
If you can trust God to save you from your sins, then you can trust God to lead your life. And if you can trust God to save you for all of eternity, then surely you can trust God to satisfy you on this earth. What we really need to be afraid of is any conditions we might put upon our obedience to this God. We give God a blank check because He's sent us for other salvation, for His glorification, for our satisfaction. So it just makes sense to say, send me whenever, however, wherever you want. Which then leads to the third reason why we give God a blank check with our lives, our families, our churches, because we're slaves of Jesus Christ. Remember, this is how the book of Romans opened. Paul said, I'm Paul, a servant, a slave of Christ Jesus. And then you get to Romans chapter 12. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I mean, that's blank check language right there. Living sacrifices. Our lives quite literally on the altar before God. When you think about it, giving God a blank check is really the essence of what it means to be a Christian in the first place, right? Well, what happens at the moment when you or I come to faith in Christ? At that moment, we turn aside from our sin and from ourselves and we say, I don't want to go my way anymore. I want to follow your way. That's a blank check, isn't it? It's not like we come to Christ and say, I want to follow some of your ways and some of my ways in the days to come. No, we say, I want to follow your way, whatever it is. This is the essence of what it means to be a Christian. To say, I'm trusting you now to save me from my sins and to lead me as my Lord. Your Lord, not me. I trust you to call the shots in my life. I'm your servant, your slave. You know why blank check language, surrender to go wherever, do whatever, seems so foreign to so many of us today? Isn't it because we've so diluted the gospel invitation? Just make this decision and move on with your life however you want in the future. And that's all that it means to be a Christian. But that's not true. It's just not true. Yes, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We just read that in Romans chapter 10. But that's just it. You're calling on the name of the Lord. The Lord who rules over you. The Lord to whom you belong. The Lord before whom you bow. And you say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. So becoming a Christian, being a Christian, necessarily means giving God a blank check. That's what it means to be a Christian. We give God a blank check because we're slaves of Jesus Christ. Fourth, we give God a blank check because we're servants in His church, which is what Paul goes on to talk about in the rest of Romans 12. And I just want to highlight this briefly because Paul immediately starts talking about the body of Christ. And listen to what he says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And then he starts listing different gifts. And the picture I want you to see in this, particularly as it relates to giving God a blank check, is that as followers of Christ, we're members of a church where everybody counts. And this is important because I'm guessing this is one of those places where I'm guessing some people are either starting to tune out from this podcast or maybe have already tuned out thinking, I just don't think my life is going to make that much difference when it comes to mission among unreached peoples. So this really doesn't apply to me. This is a missionary podcast. And this is where I just want to stop you and say this does apply to you. This applies to every single one of us. God's passion for His glory in all nations is not a compartmentalized program in the church for a select few people who are called to that. No, we're all called to this mission. We've all been commissioned on this mission. We're a body together on this mission as the church and local churches who are making the gospel known in the world, particularly among people who've never heard it. And every member of the body of Christ has a part to play in this. Every member has a part to play in mission. We're members of a body where everybody counts and everybody contributes because God has given gifts by His Spirit to every member of the body of Christ for the purpose of mission through the body of Christ. So every single follower of Christ, you've got something. You've got much to give for this mission. And this is why every member of the body of Christ then puts a blank check on the table and says, God, I believe You've gifted me, maybe even in unique ways that are different from the people around me. And I'm saying I want to use the gifts You've given me or any other gifts You will give me in the days to come, however You want, for the spread of Your gospel and Your glory to the peoples of the world, particularly those who've never even heard the gospel. So this is why we give God a blank check, because we're servants in the church, every single one of us, gifted by God in a way that we all count in this mission. We all contribute to this mission, which leads to the last reason we give God a blank check. So this would be the fifth, because we're sure of His commission. We're sure of Christ's commission. So after Paul expands on the church and its role in the culture around it in Romans 13 and 14, in the beginning of chapter 15, he calls the church to unity and mission. As Jews and Gentiles with different backgrounds and different gifts, he says in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, in other words, to the Jewish people, to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God, the nations might glorify God for His mercy. And then what Paul does is he pulls four different quotations from the Old Testament in the verses that follow, and he uses them to paint a picture of God's purpose in all of history, specifically the purpose for which Christ came into the world. Paul basically shows how Christ died to redeem people from among all peoples for the praise of God. Paul takes us all the way back into the beginning of the Old Testament to show us that when God called the people of Israel, the Jewish people, it was never just about getting praise from them. God's purpose from the very beginning was to receive praise from all the peoples of the world. And everything God has done in the world, all throughout the Old Testament, now into the New Testament, Paul says has always been, will always be, for the purpose of forming a people from among all peoples for the praise of His name. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus died, to fulfill that purpose, to make that people from among all the peoples on the earth a reality. So step back then and get the picture. What does that mean God's doing in the world right now, today? It means God is doing what He's been doing from the beginning of history, from the dawn of creation. God is doing today what He sent Christ to do 2,000 years ago. Today, God is forming a people from among all the peoples of the earth for the praise of His name. God is not fully praised when only one type of people are worshiping Him. Only Jewish people, or only Anglo-Americans, or only African-Americans, or only Latin-Americans, only this type of person or that type of person. No, God is most fully praised when every type of person in the world, when people from every part of America, and every part of Africa, and every part of Asia, when people from among all the peoples of the world are joining together in the praise of God. And this is the purpose of God in history. This is the purpose for which Christ died, and therefore, Christian, this is the purpose for which we live. Jesus died to purchase people from among all peoples for the praise of God. So we live to reach people from among all peoples for the praise of God. And this is why we give God a blank check. If this is the purpose of God in the world, and if our lives belong to God in the world, then His purpose is our purpose. And we want our lives to fulfill that purpose. And we know that purpose is going to be fulfilled. In other words, it's going to happen. All the peoples of the earth are one day going to be reached for the praise of God. And we want to be a part of it. We've got confidence. So we give God a blank check because we know that as He takes our lives, He's going to use them to bring about the culmination of all history, all the peoples praising His name. So these are the reasons. This is why we give God a blank check for all these reasons. Because we've been saved by the gospel. Because we've been sent by God. Because we're slaves of Christ. We're servants in the church. And we are sure that His commission is going to be accomplished. So practically then, what is blank check? This blank check that we give to God. And Romans 15 and 16 seems to me an answer to that question. Because what you have in the end of Romans is a picture of all kinds of different people. So you got 26 different names mentioned, all kinds of people playing all kinds of different roles and doing all kinds of different things. And Paul's saying to and about them all, together, let's get the gospel to people who've never heard it. And that's the picture I've got in my mind when I think about the church, different people, unique gifts, unique passions, unique skills, unique opportunities. And the picture is us together saying, let's get the gospel to people who've never heard it for the praise of our God. Let's give God a blank check with each of our lives individually. And as the church collectively, let's each say to God, I'll pray however you want me to pray. In Romans 15:30, Paul appeals for the church to strive together in prayer. This is where the battle begins. This is how you and I, every morning from our homes, every evening, can be a part of what God is doing in Iraq and Syria and everywhere else in the world. In our cars, we're driving down the road. We can be a part of what God's doing, specifically among unreached peoples, as we pray, as we strive together in prayer. So this is where we start with a blank check. It's not where we stop, but it's where we start. We say, God, I want to pray, however you want me to pray. And then we say, God, I want to give. I will give whatever you want me to give, which, again, is part of what Paul is emphasizing in Romans. He's in the process of taking an offering to Jerusalem when he writes this letter. When he asks for help on his journey to Spain, the word he uses there specifically references financial help that he needs from Rome to get the gospel to Spain. And this is where we remember, particularly those of us who are listening to a podcast like this, that God has given us much. Like, what if God really did want His gospel to get to every people group on the planet? Might He give His people unprecedented wealth in the history of the world to get the gospel to them? Which is what He's given to us as brothers and sisters in churches, primarily in the West, with such relative wealth in the history of the world. So why has He given it to us? He's given it to Psalm 67 for the sake of His worship, not so that we might indulge more in the pleasures of this world, but so we might live more for treasure in eternity. So we give sacrificially. We say, God, what do you want me to do? Do we look at our bank accounts and our budgets and we say, God, I'll give whatever you want me to give to see more people reached with the gospel, particularly those who've never heard. So whatever you want me to sell, I'll sell it. Whatever you want me to sacrifice, I'll sacrifice. Whatever you want me to give, I'll give for the spread of the gospel to unreached people. This is where we realize we're in wartime, brothers and sisters. This is not peacetime. We must conserve our resources, live simply, give sacrificially. Why? Because there's 2 billion people right now on a road to hell who've not even heard how they can be with God in heaven. And we've got the gospel, and God's given us resources to get the gospel to them. So we say, blank check, God, whatever you want us to give, however you want us to spend our money, use us to get the gospel to people who've never heard it. And then finally, to give God a blank check is to say, not just I'll pray or I'll give, but I'll go. I'll go whenever, wherever you want me to go. In Romans 15, Paul's saying, the Lord's calling me to Spain. So that's where I'm going. But the Lord wasn't calling everybody to go to Spain. The Lord was calling others to stay in Rome or Ephesus or other places as Paul wrote this letter. So this looks different in so many lives. For some, it will mean going short term. Others may mean going midterm. For many, a blank check will mean going long term, maybe students or families or retirees. Singles moving to live and work among unreached peoples. There are so many ways that God will lead us to go. The key, though, is that the blank check is on the table. And each of us is saying, God, whenever, now or then, wherever, here or there, I'll go. Simply put, would you say that to God? Would you say to God, here's a blank check with my life, with my family. We will pray, however, give whatever, go whenever, wherever, no strings attached, because we trust you, God, and we want your glory among all the peoples of the world. And in fact, instead of closing this podcast with prayer, I'm just going to leave a few minutes of silence on the end of this. Hopefully before this goes to our conclusion or jumps to some other song or podcast episode or anything else, I just want to challenge you to pray. And maybe for the first time, or maybe in a fresh way, to give God a blank check and to say, I am your servant, your slave, saved by you, sent by you. So here's my life. Here's my family. No strings attached. Blank check. Use me, O God, however you want to use me for your glory among the nations, particularly among people who've never heard the gospel. And may God use blank checks placed before him right now to resound to his glory and the spread of the gospel in untold ways in the days to come.
Thank you again for joining us for this episode of Radical Together. For additional free resources, including those available in other languages, go to radical.net/resources. And again, for more information on the International Mission Board, you can go to imb.org. Join us next time for more teaching from David, right here on the Radical Together podcast.